How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible.
Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days. Jump shot fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. Especially when the season get hectic. I stay waiting on it like receiving a Nets pick. Nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth you might even hear a story on Gigi. So in depth they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, John Corrales and Jay King. Locked on trying to get the 18th ring. So you can miss me with the blah blah. No more Geno time, we watching Jay do the Zaza.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. Thank you for making us part of your daily routine, minus one day this week. We took the Super Bowl day off. We are the Rain and Jays, John Corrales, Jay King, here to talk a little bit about that Patriots game, which was okay, from what I'm told. A little bit about Paul Pierce, who made an emotional return. And Isaiah Thomas won another award. So let's get right into it. Let's get the Super Bowl stuff out of the way. Let's just do this.
You're an embarrassment, Corrales.
No, here's the thing. Okay, so here's what happened. Now, because of my dedication to the Boston Celtics, I was at home watching the game and creating a recap for RedsArmy.com. So instead of being out and watching the game out and being at a bar with everybody and you know, a bunch of Patriots fans, I was home. So then I went from home after the game to a bar to watch the Patriots, and the first half was just an absolute shit show. So I walked home at halftime and said, I'm not going to be out during all of this, I'm just going to come home. And the third quarter happened, and I was like, well, that's it. We're done. We're toast. The Patriots had just scored, and Gostkowski missed.
You watched the score, and then you left?
No. It was halftime. I left at halftime. I walked home at halftime. The Patriots had just scored, and Gostkowski shanked the point after. And at that point, I was so disgusted. I slumped in my chair, put my head down. I was like, oh, and I passed out. Totally passed out. Was out. I woke up at 28-28, confused beyond belief. Like, what the hell is going on? My phone's ringing. My brother's calling me. I got texts. I'm like, what's going on? What just happened? We're losing. Now it's what?
You're an embarrassment.
So
you wait. People wait their whole lives for a game like that, for a comeback like that, and you passed out before it happened,
dude.
Was the culmination of the greatest quarterback of all time, the greatest coach of all time, the greatest football team of all time, the greatest comeback.
Dude, you make it seem like I have never watched a Patriots comeback to win a Super Bowl. They're like, this is old hat now. I saw it. I was there. I watched the Malcolm Butler interception. This all happened. So, you know what? I fell asleep.
Now, you should be trucked by LeGarrette Blount.
Please.
That should be your punishment. You should
please
have to stand there.
I woke up. I watched the OT. Lost my mind in the OT.
Man. Congrats, man. You're a great fan. Watch the OT.
That's right. I watched the OT, and then I rewound as fast as I could to get back to the beginning of the fourth quarter to catch up on what I missed. Hey, shit happens. I'm not the only one. I know I'm not the only one.
Yeah, you and Mark Wahlberg, the two,
let me tell
two
you
worst
something.
Boston sports fans there are.
No, let me tell you something. Sitting in your chair and passing out is not like getting up and leaving. I didn't get up and leave a game. I didn't leave the Super Bowl.
You just fell asleep, John.
That's right. I fell asleep in a chair.
This is you're sad. Like,
that's not sad. That's the way it goes.
There's you should not, be ashamed. What's, you don't even sound ashamed.
I'm not ashamed of it at all. That happens. I fell asleep in the third quarter of a blowout, and I was like, you know what? I didn't go to sleep. I didn't get into bed and say, all right, I'm going to go to sleep now. I was in my chair, drunk, and I passed out after a day full
of... You should have Patriots fan privileges revoked. You should never be able to watch a game again. You should have to root for the Cleveland Browns or something from now on.
Oh, get out of here.
Who falls asleep during the middle of this
You make it sound like I got up and went to bed, made myself a nice little cup of cocoa. You save that for people who leave games. This is like, I'm not like one of those Cleveland fans who was like knocking back on, the Miami fans who was like knocking back on after Ray Allen hit that shot. Like, that's fine. I fell asleep. I think it's funny that I fell asleep, and I'm not ashamed of it at all.
I have disagreed with you before. I have thought you were making very bad points before. I have never been ashamed of you before. But now I am, man. At least you got to experience the Paul Pierce shot, though.
That was something else. And I'm a big Boston sports fan, but obviously the Celtics, like, I was much more excited about that. Like, the Patriots, when I sat there and I was looking at them like, oh, they're going to lose, I was like, all right. That doesn't ruin my day. The Patriots losing a Super Bowl doesn't ruin my day. Like, the Celtics losing a middle-of-January game ruins my day. So just so we know in the hierarchy of things, like, that Paul Pierce day was much more emotional for me than the Patriots winning the Super Bowl. So
that was just an incredible, incredible shot. And you knew he was going to make it. Like, there was no doubt when they ran. I love that they ran the 1-3 pick and roll, just like old times. He always got the switch with the point guard on him, and he always got the shot off over the top. And granted, normally people weren't backing up to let him shoot, but I mean, there was no doubt he was going to make that. Didn't matter that he'd sat for two hours. Didn't matter that he'd racked up DNPs since December 31st. Didn't matter that he's 38 and washed up. Like, that was a big shot, and Paul Pierce was going to drain that motherfucker.
That was just special. Just to see Pierce step up like that. But the whole thing, the whole buildup, we hadn't seen him since 5 minutes into the first quarter. We heard all of the chants, the cheers. We want Pierce, you know, Paul Pierce, whatever. To have him come back in, and I wasn't sure. Like, there was a point there where all of the cheering for Pierce was actually starting to make me feel bad for Pierce, because it was like, he's not going to get back into this game, and everybody's going to be a little disappointed at how this worked out. But he got in. The anticipation was so high when he hit that three, and Eddie Palladino gave the Paul Pierce 4-3, and the
That was perfect.
Just the whole thing. It was. It's hard to really grasp for people who aren't Celtics fans and haven't been Celtics fans from the beginning, the magnitude of that. And you had, I think, if people may not be fully aware and why we're so excited about this, go read Jay's piece on masslive.com about the stories that people told about Paul Pierce and their memories of Paul Pierce. And that will give you a good idea of what Pierce meant to this organization. No one told you stories about shots that he hit. They told you personal stories about off the court stuff mostly. Those were the memories. So why don't you share some of that, because it was really, really important, I think, for people who might not have a full grasp of things to get the proper perspective.
There were some I can't share, too. I wish I could share all of the stories that were told to me, because some of them were not for publication. But they were good, too. But the one – so Mike Zarin was telling me about New Year's Eve, the 2007-2008 season. And they'd obviously started out like from the beginning. They were great that year. They defended like hell. It was Pierce, Garnett, Allen, that team gelled right away. And he set up a New Year's party, which no players ever do. Like, you don't set up a New Year's party and invite front office guys and coaches and everything like that. Like, if you invite a few players to a New Year's party, that's probably like more team oriented than most guys would be. So he sets up this whole New Year's party for everybody. And Mike Zarin said he walked in and there were little pillows with green shamrocks on them sitting on all the chairs and the benches inside the Hawthorne Bar, which is underneath the Commonwealth or Hotel Commonwealth in Kenmore Square. And he said it just seconds before midnight, Pierce stood up on one of the couches, took one of the pillows, and looked out at everyone and just said, "We're winning the title this year. This is our year." And Zarin, honestly, he said he didn't even remember what happened after that. It was like, he said the moment was so surreal, like his memory stops there. He doesn't know how people reacted to it. It was just like whoa. And Mike Zarin, for background, he's a huge Celtics fan growing up, and now he's their assistant general manager. But his parents are, his father's a season ticket holder. Like, they still go to all the games to this day. Zarin wears a Celtics jacket from, like, I don't know how many years ago. But he's been a huge Celtics fan from long before he started working for the organization. So for him to be there in that moment and a year after the Celtics have been so bad, it was just, like, this unbelievable moment. And for Pierce to, like, that was when he first called game, you know?
Yeah, right.
It never made it public, but he told everyone, "We're winning the championship this year," and sure enough, they went out and did it. So that I thought that was a cool story. There were a lot of cool stories. I mean, everybody had a different Pierce story too. So it's neat asking all the people, and there's still a lot of people that, like, Avery Bradley's the only one who played with him on the team remaining, but there are a lot of guys who work for the team, whether it's assistant coaches, guys in the front office, whatever, who experienced a lot of the Pierce era, and just the way they talk about him, everybody in that organization just really cherishes that guy. And it's not just about the on the court stuff; it's everything else too. So it's cool to know that as much as he's beloved, you know, in the city of Boston, he's that well loved inside the Celtics organization too. Like, when he finished his press conference, Jeff Twiss, who has been the media guru there for, I don't know how many years, 30 some odd years at least, he said thank you, Paul, and they kind of embraced, and it just a really powerful day overall.
That was that whole day was just amazing. Sean Grandy and I talked a bit about Pierce's rise in the organization. And I think that his redemption, his growth from that brash, cocky kid to the guy he is now, still kind of cocky, still has that swagger for sure, but just a much more mature individual who really embraced his role. And I know today on the Herd show, Christine Leahy was mentioning, she said that Pierce's relationship with Boston is one of the best player city relationships around. And I really do agree that Pierce's relationship with Boston has grown to a point where, I mean, God, he could run for mayor. He's right up there with Ortiz and Brady and those guys. Like, he is in that level where there's just nothing but pure love for the guy.
Yeah, he's untouchable at this point. And that was just like one last unbelievable moment. First of all, the video tribute was perfect. It was like you could tell he was literally crying on the court. And he's an emotional guy, and he obviously enjoyed it. People, everybody, like half the crowd probably had Paul Pierce jerseys on. People were lined up. It was like, it felt like no other game. Like people were lined up in the back hallway waiting for autographs. Like I don't even know how people got in the back hallway, but whether they called in favors for the day or what. But there were a bunch of people lined up in the back hallway trying to take pictures of him, get autographs, and he signed everyone. There was just such a deep appreciation, not just for him, but from him. Like he fully gets how much he means to Boston. And it really is. It's a special relationship that he has with the city, and it is because he was there for so long. He overcame some rocky times. And he just never stopped giving it at all. And Doc Rivers said something about that to the Clippers players, actually. Like, I thought that was maybe the coolest quote of the day was he told the players something like, if you guys want to see the example of someone who has completely maximized their career, just look at what's going to happen today. He said, you guys won't all be Hall of Fame players. But Paul Pierce, when he leaves the game, he's going to leave it empty, completely empty. Like, he gave the game everything he had. And when you do that, people cherish it. So I thought that was probably the coolest, the most fitting quote anyone said was just Pierce gave it his all. And now he's a barely plays. It's weird how far he's fallen, because just a couple of years ago, he was in Washington giving huge playoff moments. But still, you knew that three-pointer. You knew for a fact that thing was going in. And when it went in, like, people started cheering before he even caught it.
Yeah.
As soon as the pass went over to him, people started cheering. And then when it went in, I don't think I've ever heard the TD Garden that loud. It was absolutely bonkers in there, just people going insane. And it was such an unbelievable moment. Nobody left their seats. While Pierce gave his post game interview at midcourt, nobody left their seats. Like, they were going to wait for Paul Pierce to walk into the tunnel. It was just a really, really incredible night.
Yeah, and that
afternoon,
went,
I guess.
Yeah, that went better than I really thought. Like, before the season, I thought, you know, it's gonna. I felt like it was gonna be a little anticlimactic, but man, that really was the goodbye. I really do feel like Paul Pierce's career ended on Sunday.
And he does too, which is funny. Like he believes that was his goodbye to the game. Like that was kind of it for him. And obviously, you know, who knows what could happen. Maybe he'll get called on later, but for him that was it. That was probably the reason, you know, Kobe announced his retirement and had like the full goodbye tours in every city. Paul Pierce, he might have announced his retirement just so he could have that day. And then considering how far he's fallen as a player and that he doesn't play too much, like it couldn't have been a more perfect ending, I thought, because he hit a shot and it wasn't like Celtics fans had to decide, okay, do we want to cheer this because it sends the Clippers ahead or what? It was like the Celtics had won. Paul Pierce hit the shot. And God damn, it was beautiful.
Yeah, right. It didn't cost them anything. It was just, here you go. Here's the ball one last time. And yeah, it was perfect.
Clippers almost screwed that up by sticking around for too long.
Right. Seriously. Like that was, well, it worked out. It worked out. There's nothing more that you can say about that day, that game, that, who knows what Paul Pierce is going to do? Like I don't know. They may be saving him for a playoff run where they know that playing him a bunch now makes no difference and it only serves to maybe wear him down. And you need him for moments like this in the playoffs when you might actually need him to make a shot like that, and he steps up. But who knows how that's going to go. But I think if that's like one that's almost like a comeback. Like if he plays in the playoffs, like that's his comeback, and he retired, as far as I'm concerned, yesterday, and that was that. So, but what a way to go out, man. What a way to go out. All things considered, the way everything went, that was just a beautiful day.
It was magical, man. when people talk about how incredible Boston is as a sports town, like for a sports town, things don't get much better than Sunday, February 5th, 2017, with Paul Pierce's return, the greatest comeback in at least NFL history, maybe sports history. Just what a ridiculous day.
Yeah, that was
like one day this bubble's gonna pop, right? Like,
right? You would expect it to. I've been talking about this with everybody. My brother and I had a conversation before the show. That, I mean, at some point, it feels like it's going to end. I mean, look, Brady's gonna retire at some point. He has to, and so will Belichick. At some point, they're both gonna go away, and then everything changes. So appreciate it now while it exists. But just in pure Boston sports terms, not everybody listening is a Patriots fan, but look, the Celtics are two games out of first. I don't know how this Cavs game is going. I know that it's an awesome game. It's
going into overtime right now.
So, yeah, we're missing an awesome Cavs Wizards game right now, which yeah, I guess
damn you listeners for making us miss.
I guess we should root for the Cavs in this situation because we don't want Washington to overtake us, or should we root for Washington because we want to get closer to first?
I'm not rooting for anybody, man. Yeah. I'm just rooting for good basketball.
So we're watching this, or this is going on. The Celtics are a couple of game out of first. They got the inside track on potentially the first overall pick in the draft. So things are going pretty well for the Celtics. And however the Patriots thing works out, the Celtics are basically right there to kind of step up and be potential finals contenders next year. And then you've still got like the Red Sox are rebuilding and got a really, really good young core. And, you know, the Bruins are the Bruins, but who knows? They could turn it around at some point. And things we're just marching along, man. Those duck boats are getting a workout. And
I'm telling you, it can't stay like this forever. It's been like this for a long-ass time, though.
It has.
And like you said, the Red Sox, the Celtics, they both look set up for God knows how long. The Patriots, you know, Brady and Belichick will at some point go away. In the NFL, like, they're the only team that's had longevity. There's been no other team.
It's unbelievable.
Has been close to what they've done. Not even close.
I really can't even fathom sometimes. Look, you had the best quarterback of all time and the best coach of all time, and they're together at the same time for the same stretch. Like, that. How often does that happen? You basically have, it's like Popovich and Duncan in San Antonio. Like, that's the only sustained stretch. Before that, you got to go back to like Red Auerbach and Bill Russell. Like, those are the only examples, and we're seeing it right now. So, just enjoy it, I guess. Although, I went online to buy one of those Super Bowl champion hats. No, $40
You can't
bucks.
Have a Super Bowl champion hat.
I can't have it.
Sleep during the second half, John.
Fourth quarter.
That's the second half, ain't it?
Absolutely, I can. Of course, I can. I'm still happy the team won. God, man, look. I went to the old Foxborough Stadium and sat on those long metal bleachers. I've earned my stripes when it comes to the Patriots. Yeah. I've gone through it.
Passed out on those too.
No, I was too young to drink that much. Hey, look, I was celebrating the Paul Pierce moment, so maybe I celebrated that a little bit too hard. Oh, well. Anyway.
I'm ashamed.
Eh, whatever. I'm not. I know who I am. I admit it. One more piece of business to talk about. Isaiah Thomas, the Eastern Conference Player of the Week. Just add another award to his resume. 4-0, the Celtics were during this week. The numbers are insane. I still can't believe that Isaiah is putting these numbers up. For the week, he averaged 38 points and 7 assists, basically, and 17.5 points per fourth quarter.
I mean, that's just insane.
What? Like, those are actual numbers. He scored over 20 twice in the fourth quarter during the stretch.
Yeah, and they needed him to. The 21 against Toronto when they came flying back from a big deficit. The 24 against Detroit when they barely held off the Pistons. Like, he's just been outrageous. I thought it was really cool that he randomly met up with Paul Pierce the night before Pierce's last game.
Yeah.
And there was kind of like that passing of the torch.
That was really cool. Yeah. That was a cool moment.
Yeah, Pierce, actually, when Pierce was giving his press conference, everyone obviously just wanted to talk about Paul Pierce and his return and what the Celtics mean to him and all that. And this was at practice the day before the game. And when he finished the press conference, it was clear he just wanted to give his thoughts on Isaiah Thomas. So he was like, man, that boy Isaiah killing. And then just went on to talk for like 2 minutes about Isaiah Thomas while the Clippers media guy was like, Paul, practice is starting. You got to get going, man. And he just wanted to let it be known that he's a big Isaiah Thomas fan, which is cool.
Paul Pierce just does what he wants. Paul, you got to go to practice. Nah, it's all right. Don't worry about it. I got this. You're not taking this moment away from me. It's like the music coming on to play somebody off the Oscars stage. He's like, nah, I'm going to keep talking here. Look, Isaiah Thomas is killing it. How about this? How about Isaiah Thomas and Tom Brady, two guys at the end of their drafts, going out and just leading monster fourth quarter comebacks left and right? Like, that's – how awesome is that?
You usually stay awake for Isaiah's, though, right?
Oh, Isaiah's keep me going, man. They energize me. But yeah, I think that's just so an awesome Boston thing to have. Like, it feels like a Boston thing, and maybe I don't know. Maybe that comes off as a bit douchey, but that it feels like a Boston thing. Of like, yeah, we didn't, you know, pick him last. We're gonna pick you last, and all of a sudden you become awesome, like MVPs and MVP candidates, and like, how much better does it get than that? I think it's great.
Perfect. Just like Sunday, February 5th, with the exception of John falling asleep.
That's all right. I'm comfortable with who I am. All right, I'm comfortable with ending the show there too. Let's just do that now. Thanks for listening, everybody. Thank you for subscribing. If you are not a subscriber, please search for Locked On Celtics wherever it is you subscribe for your podcast. Do that. If you haven't rated us, please rate us 5 stars because, you know, we do things like admit we fell asleep during the fourth quarter of a Super Bowl massive comeback. So it's 5-star worthy, at least admitting it and owning it. I own it.
John, to make him know how much shame you feel.
Nah, see, I own it. It's fine. It happens. I'm not ashamed. I got no shame. You can still try to shame me, though, but I'm not going to feel it. Thanks for listening, everybody.
You're an embarrassment, Corrales.
I am not. I am no such thing. This has been the Locked On Celtics Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Yeah, Jay King and John Corrales. Locked On Celtics. Millie.